So that's an Argus about the Hill High moratorium for the Vietnamese War, for discussion on it.
Open discussion of Vietnam conflict. Pros and cons was held in Hill High classes Wednesday. Day set for a nationwide moratorium by college students. Discussions were held in one of the classrooms during both lunches for those students interested in attending. Okay.
So, in your opinion, at what point did the students really become aware of the war? Actually, I should probably start out by, at Hill High, you were vice principal?
When the war began? 65.
I was, yeah.
65. See, Hill High opened in 68. Hillsborough High School opened in 68, 69. So in 65, we were over on 6th and Lincoln, and I was assistant principal. And then moved out to the new, to what at that time was the new high school in 68, 69. And then I became principal in 71. I think the war ended in the mid-70s, didn't it?
Yeah. It ended about 72, they started to...
I think the students were aware of the war. We had issues that were war-related back at 6th and Lincoln in the mid-60s. I remember, like it was yesterday, I never had a student that refused to stand up during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Really?
And it was in, I think, 66, probably, 66, 67. And it was war-related. It was a student who'd been going to Lewis and Clark and participating, I don't know, in a club or something, where they were talking about war-related issues. And so I would consider that a war-related incident that took place in our school, and that was in the mid-60s. So I've got to conclude that students were well aware of the war.
Yeah. Wow. Was there a noticeable student response then to the war?
Well, that's a tough one. The significant notable student response that I remember was in connection with the peace marches. There were peace marches taking place in Portland that were sponsored by Portland State students. But that was later. That was in the late 60s, and in the early, in the late 60s particularly.
Uh-huh.
It was right after we moved out to Hill High. And we had a number of students who wanted to go and participate in those marches, a significant number. And we had a lot of attendance issues because we didn't want them gone for that period of time. We had to figure out how to deal with the absences. And there was board discussion about it, and we got a directive that students could be given excused absences to go participate in those peace marches.
Wow.
And that's the first, you know, really big issue I remember. Another issue I remember was, let me just ramble like this, is this okay?
Yeah, this is fabulous.
Let's see, I was still vice principal, so it was either 1969-70 or 70-71 when we had a group of, we used to hold a military information assembly at the end of the day where recruiters for all the branches of the armed forces came out, and it was during an activity period, so those students who wanted to go could go. And the presence of those military recruiters on campus was objected to by a group of students. Same issue as they have going right, well, it's not the same issue as they have going to Portland, but a similar one. But that was war related, uh-huh. And there were some demonstrations. There were some students that threatened to go in and disrupt that assembly. And that was quite an issue. The Argus came out, and I don't think they ever took any pictures, but it was quite a disruptive issue for us. And I think that was in 69-70 probably, or 70-71.
Yeah.
So I think that you know, some students kind of became politicized around the war in the late 60s. I don't recall that happening prior to that time, prior to the time we got out to the
still on campus.
Was there any changes in hairstyle, dress, and during that time?
Absolutely. You know, that was a period of tremendous change with respect to standards and expectations for students. The problem for me is I can't sort out. I mean, there were a lot of evolutionary changes going on in society. I mean, you know, you had the women's movement and the civil rights movement, and that was when drugs first became readily available to students, and all those things were changing student behavior. We had all kinds. That was during the period of time. See, what happened for us was we went from at Century, you're in a closed campus situation.
Yeah.
But when we were at downtown at 6th and Lincoln in what's now Thomas Junior High, that was an open campus.
Yeah.
When the bell would ring for lunch, students leave that place like a bunch of lemmings, you know, going into the ocean, headed downtown for the stores and restaurants. Well, then when we went out to Hill High, 68, 69, right in the middle of all this turbulence, you know, we moved out there to a closed campus. And we took students who may have had two or three years of open campus and cooped them up out there. And you can imagine what the reaction was.
Wow.
Particularly during that period of time. But yeah, I mean, what do you want me to tell you about how much, about the problems we had with dress codes and right to assemble and free speech and newspapers and all that kind of thing?
Do you think any of that had to do specifically from the Vietnam War?
I think the war triggered a lot of that change. I think a lot of it would have happened anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I think what happened was, you know, the really up to the mid-60s, now this is my own perception, up to the mid-60s, students were pretty docile. I mean, they were pretty apathetic about rules and standards and expectations. That was the way schools were run then. I mean, adults decided what the expectations were, and students conformed to them. I mean, you know, I can remember as recently as probably 66, 67, 67, 68, standing in the hallway at Hill High and asking kids to tuck their shirts in.
Wow.
And we sent kids home because they wore granny dresses, you know, long, because that was in violation of the dress code, you know. But nobody ever questioned it. I mean, you know, we had some games being played and that kind of thing, but nobody ever questioned it. Well, then the war came along, and you had all this assertiveness on the part of young adults. You know, you had the drafted defectors, the drafted dodgers, and you had the peace marches going on, and you had the sit-ins occurring on the college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a lot of very disruptive civil disobedience going on that was very visible to high school students.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they picked up on that very quickly. You know, many of them had brothers or sisters or whatever, and you could just feel the influence of that coming back into the high schools. And that's when the issues around things like standing up during the Pledge of Allegiance, letting hair lengths grow, wearing t-shirts with what we thought were obscene words on them and that kind of thing. And so it kind of crept down from the colleges. I think a lot of it was emulated. But all that started, and at the same time the introduction of drugs, particularly marijuana.
Yeah.
And all that started just about the time we moved out to Hillsboro High School in the mid to late 60s. 66, 67, 67, 68.
Wow.
And I think the war triggered a lot of that. I mean, I think that you know, what was happening was, you know, as I view it, young adults, especially in college settings, were learning that they had a vested interest in the war. I mean, you know, if the country went to war, who was going to get killed? They were.
Yeah.
You know, and they began speaking out and speaking up. And high school students picked up on that, and you saw some of the same kinds of things. I remember again at 6th and Lincoln that we began having trouble with things like assemblies where kids were giving their campaign speeches.
Hmm.
you know, getting into comments that were critical of the administration or you know, issues that we thought were out of bounds, or at least had been up to that time. So all of that began creeping in about that time. And I think, yes, it was war-related. The war was the thing that was triggering it. But I think a lot of it would have happened anyway later on, probably.
Just help progress, maybe?
Yeah, it was the catalyst, so to speak.
So with all this, how do you think how did the administration and the staff deal with it? Did they support it, or was it really...
Oh, it was a period of real turmoil for us.
Really?
Because, you know, anytime you change the rules, move the goalposts, so to speak, you know, and you can't come in to a setting like that. I mean, student control and safety and maintaining a proper learning atmosphere is what running schools is about in large measure. And when all of a sudden, you know, the rules that you used to accomplish those things a year ago or 5 years ago don't work anymore.
Wow.
Or you're continually in conflict over those rules. I'll put it that way. Because that's what it was. I mean, that, you know, that's what student attitudes changed, and everything, and all of a sudden everything was subject to question. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? And this is not right, and that's not right, and so it was a period of real soul searching, I think, for schools. I think everybody wanted to be fair, but everybody also wanted to maintain the right atmosphere and the right kind of control of schools, because that's what we thought teachers wanted, and what we thought parents wanted, and what we thought the community wanted. And then, of course, you had the introduction of the courts into all of this, you know, with these landmark decisions coming down. The Tinker case, the armband case, are you familiar with that one?
Oh yeah, making it available for people to wear.
Well, students had come, it was in Des Moines, Iowa, students had come to school with armbands on.
Mm-hmm.
And they were Vietnam War related, and the administration took the position that that was disruptive, that it would distract from the real purpose of schools. And there was a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the ruling was that was within the purview of free speech for students. And the quote was that students didn't leave their rights at the door to the school. Well, you had all those things. And at that point, everybody just threw the standards out. And the guideline there was that you couldn't impose a dress or grooming restriction unless you could prove that it was potentially disruptive. So right away, you know, that was the guideline. That was the acid test. You had to, if I was going to tell you that you couldn't wear shorts to school, then in a legal sense, I was responsible to prove that allowing you to wear shorts was potentially disruptive to the educational process.
Wow.
So at that point, a lot of schools just threw their standards out and said, you know, we don't have any support. Everybody's on their own except the parents. And that didn't work either.
As far as war efforts, did you see the staff participate in any poor or anti-war efforts that maybe got involved with the students?
We had some staff that were very, well, this tells you that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's very obvious, and I don't remember this, but it's very obvious that you had some teachers that were inviting students during their lunch period to come in and discuss the pros and cons of America's involvement in Vietnam. And I can remember a number of teachers, particularly social studies teachers, that were very involved in the whole war issue, and very much engaged in talking with students and engaging students in conversation and debate about it. Now, my recollection of those things is Root Bridge Road, so that'd be early 70s, real late 60s, early 70s. I don't recall anything of that kind prior to that time.
So do you remember recall any specific events with that, maybe with teachers encouraging students or discouraging students?
You mean taking a position pro or con and trying to persuade students?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that that was a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I know that we had numbers of teachers on campus who had very strong convictions that our involvement in the war was wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't recall that there were parents, that there were parent complaints about brainwashing.
Yeah.
You know, I think you always have that issue of you know, dealing with both sides of it and allowing both sides, bringing up, you know, making sure that both views are represented and that kind of thing. And I just don't recall that that was ever an issue.
Was there tension within the staff with such convictions?
Tension's an interesting word. I think there were arguments and discussions and differences of opinion. I don't recall that it became you know, something that distracted from working relationships. I don't recall that happening.
The draft. The draft? Do you have any specific recollections about the draft? Maybe how it affected the community in Hillsboro or school specifically?
I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't have any recollection of that aspect of it. And see, there again, our kids were, you know, high school kids were several years away from that, so I'm not sure that that would have been an issue. I just don't recall it coming up as an issue.
Do you have any recollections of reactions to friends or family maybe leaving for the war? Students having maybe parent, older brothers or sisters?
I don't.
Okay. Do you have anything else that stands out as far as school?
I think the issues for us were rapid, you know, the whole issue of standards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was basically the issue for us, you know, particularly in the dress and grooming area,
uh-huh.
In the free speech area. I mean, we had like I say, these situations that came up around campaign speeches and that kind of thing, and that was a period of time when that happened for the first time. Newspaper issues.
Graduation speeches.
All of those kinds of things became confrontational kinds of situations. Instead of, here's the guidelines, do you have any questions, it became, here's the guideline, now let's argue about it and let's resolve it. So dress and grooming, free speech, freedom to assemble, like the recruiter situation,
mm-hmm.
And the right of student groups to meet, and the peace marches, all those became things. And, you know, I would guess that very few high schools in Oregon had clear-cut policies. I mean, really definitive, codified policies in any of those areas. Mm-hmm. Right to assemble on campus. You know, when can students, you know, meet as a group for something that's not school-related? I doubt that anybody prior to the late 60s had a policy regarding that. Some schools had policies regarding newspapers, but not very comprehensive policies. But after all this ended, all that stuff was codified in great detail, because it had to be.
Yeah.
All based on legal, on court judgments and decisions. But those were the big issues that I recall.
Um,
Don't recall anything, I just don't recall anything related to the draft. Like I say, that would have been much more appalling.
Yeah. As far as war efforts go, while we were researching, we found a lot of articles about students sending ditty bags over to servicemen and things like of that nature. Do you recall any efforts like that in this case?
I do remember that. And I think that my recollection is that some of that came about through a liaison with off-campus agencies like Red Cross. Somebody knew the Red Cross or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at Hill High, we had clubs involved in collecting money to put together packages for Vietnam and other things. I don't remember a lot of the detail about it, but I do know that it was occurring.
As far as the community here in Hillsborough goes, would you say that the community became involved or not so involved? Do you have anything to say about that?
You know, I don't recall a lot of community. You know, this community has changed a lot since then. It was a much more blue-collar, rural kind of a place.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the mid to late 60s than it is now. It's much more, you know, suburban and white collar middle class than it was then. I don't recall much. Len?
Yeah, hi.
I just don't recall much. Of course, I was all wrapped up in schools. I wasn't that aware of what was going on to me. But I just don't remember much.
Uh-huh.
Community. My guess is that Hillsborough as a community was very pro-war. I mean, more supportive of the war than Lake Oswego would have been, for example.
Yeah. Well, examining the Argus, it seemed a lot like that.
Yeah.
The Argus is pretty conservative, so it was...
very patriotic, right-wing conservative.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was much more that kind of a community during that period of time than it is now. So. I don't remember a lot of anti-war kinds of activities or dialogue
mm-hmm.
occurring. And like I say, I don't recall that that there was a lot of objection to anything that was going on school-wise relative
mm-hmm.
to the war. I think that that the community was perfectly happy to have discussion and dialogue and argumentation going on, as long as it was done under control and both sides were represented. Those are the only recollections I have.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say?
Not that I can think of.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right.